What's up, everybody? Welcome to the fifth episode of the Econ Podcast. 5 episodes, huh? Still haven't got bored of it yet. Okay, so first of all, I'd like to shout out another podcast called Knackers in the Braes. The word knackers has a completely different meaning in the UK compared to Ireland. But anyway, it's hosted by two guys, Ryan and Barry. They're on all platforms, and in an upcoming episode, I'll be featured asking them a would you rather question. They feature Would You Rather on every episode they do, so if you tune into them, you can hear me eventually. I don't know what episode it's going to be, but it'll be one of them. And if you tune into them, they're pretty entertaining, they do a good show, and you can also send them in a Would You Rather question, and they will answer it. So as for my podcast, you can find us on Podbean, Google, Spotify, Anchor, Radio Public, and now we're on Breaker. Or you can message us on Instagram, Econ Podcast, and you can also email us, econpodcast@gmail.com. So, I never really thought I'd probably do paranormal stuff, but this week it's going to be paranormal story time. This story is 100% real too, only some names have been changed. So, yeah, let's start it. So, there's this guy, Frank, who worked as a security officer, and he had got a new job, and when he had went into the new site, he was taken on as a patrol driver. So he would have to lock up buildings and do little clock-on points. By clock-on points, I mean, if you ever see a security officer kind of putting a little device up to a wall, that's just saying where they have been on the patrol and what time, stuff like that. So the first few days were training, and he was working a mixture of days and nights, mostly days but some nights. So the first couple of days he was on the site, he was just getting himself accustomed to it, doing patrols and finding his way around it. The site was fairly big, it was like 500 acres. It had a water park, an indoor water park, I mean. It had an arena, and several office buildings dotted around the grounds. So, since he worked a mixture of days and nights, he also had to be trained day shift. Wouldn't have to lock up buildings as much. Night shift would be locking up buildings. And on the first night that he was down there, Frank had set off to patrol the 500-acre site. He was on his own, because only one driver, apparently, was going around in the vehicle. So he's driving around this dark, lonely site on his own, and the grounds that all these buildings were built on used to belong to a rich family back in like the early 19th century. So it would have been in around 1810 to 1815. And the house that they lived in was still on the grounds. It was abandoned. It was a mansion. It was abandoned, but it was still standing and intact. So on his first night, he was going around clocking onto various buildings. Then he came up to the very, very back of the grounds, and he came to the front of the mansion. When he got out of his car to hit the tag point on the front of the door, on their front door, I mean, he had noticed, because Frank always had this gift that he was able to sense that he wasn't alone when there'd be no actual people around, so he was able to sense if there was a spirit around. He wouldn't necessarily be able to talk to them or communicate with them, but he could tell if it was a male or a female, and if they were young or if they were old. So when he got out and he hit the, once his hand had touched the door, then he could, it's like he could feel that there were several spirits in the house. It wasn't just one. It just felt like there was a lot of people in the house. So he quickly tagged on and got back in his car and headed back to the security hut by the front of the grounds. And after some time of thinking of what he felt, he reluctantly told one of his co-workers the mansion was haunted. His co-worker who was training him in that night laughed at first, making Frank think that he didn't believe in spirits. And that was until the co-worker had actually said that Frank wasn't the first person to say that the grounds or the mansion area was haunted. So Frank finished his shift in his training period, and then he told his girlfriend, who could speak to spirits and was very gifted at it, what had happened. The following week, Frank was due to close up by himself because his training was complete. And the work with the other officer he would usually work with, called Eddie. So Eddie looks after one side of the grounds. He looks at the side closest to the security hub because he's not a patrol driver. And Frank looks after the back end because he is the patrol driver and the back end is further away. The two get talking and Eddie tells Frank about strange things that happened in the indoor water park. A few years previous, a child had died in it and apparently someone else had died inside it, or they had had an accident and had died later on in hospital, but we're not too sure about that. One night when he was locking the fire doors, he came to the changing areas and he never felt like he was alone in the changing areas. Then there was another side of the water park where you have to lock up the doors, and when he went in there, there's a big long corridor, a one-way corridor. Once all the doors are locked, you have to come back and come back the way you came. So Eddie had went in and went to lock the doors. So once the doors locked, it was like one of those doors with a bar in it, and he had to hold down the bar to open it so it couldn't just blow open or anything. So Eddie had locked the doors, and he maybe got 5-6 steps away when the door had flew open and then slammed really loud behind him, like someone had opened it and slammed it. So Eddie quickly got out of there and didn't really like going back up there after that. He was the only person in that building. There was nobody else around. Because once he's down the lockup, he's the only person there. So Frank had 6 buildings to check himself. By checking them, he had to go in all the rooms of the buildings, set alarms, turn off lights, so forth, as you would expect a security guard would do. So on this night that he had been speaking, the two men went about doing what jobs they had to do on the site. So Frank goes up to, makes his way through all the buildings he has to do, and then he's locking up, no problem. And then he eventually comes to the last building, which was a set of offices attached to the mansion. And the offices used to be stables. So it's like there's a black set of gates. And when you go in there, there's a courtyard. And to the right of the courtyard is the entrances. And to the left, it's like where the stables would have wrapped around and joined on to the mansion. So Frank pulls up to the gates, goes in, but as he goes in, he immediately feels like there's somebody watching him, but there's nobody around. He shines a light around and can't see anybody there at all. So he just ignores it and he makes his way into the building. As he goes into the building, he locks the back door of the building, which is straight ahead of the front door of the building. But then there's like 2 wings to the building. There's, to the right, there's a smaller side. Frank starts off with there, goes down to the end, and there's no doors open or anything. So while he's down there, he still feels that there's somebody with him, but then it feels like there's nobody with him. But down further in the building, he hears a door slamming. So immediately thinking that there's somebody down there, he goes quickly down towards the sound, but when he gets there, he finds that nobody is there. So he thinks nothing of it and returns to where he was and continues his lockup. He makes his way through the rest of the building, still feeling like something is following him. And he reaches one door upstairs and he gets a really strong feeling in his whole body that something is either at the door, behind him at the door, or very, very close to him. So he quickly locks the door, finishes lockup, and then heads back down towards the hut because he's finished locking up all his buildings. After this, Franks decides that when he's working at nights in future, he will start with these offices and walk his way back, thinking that because it will be earlier, it won't be as dark, and there's less likely of some activity happening. So the next week, he pulls up to the gates, heads out, and immediately, once he gets in the courtyard, he feels a presence in the same place as the last time, and he feels that it's a female around 19 to 22, and she seems kind of friendly but likes to play jokes. He also knows, once he feels this again, that this is going to be a regular thing. He starts to lock up and feels something coming and going from around him. When he gets to the door upstairs again, he gets the same strong feeling again. As the weeks pass, the activity gets stronger. One time he's closing the window in one room. After it is closed, he comes back out, and the door he had just closed before entering that room was opened again. He decides to say to his girlfriend what had been happening. She says she feels it's a girl, but not a kid, but young enough, and she means no harm. This somewhat puts his mind at ease. But still the activity increases. The door he had just locked would be unlocked and opened when he walked back by it. When he walks into one room, a kettle turns on and starts boiling. And one night he locks the gates as he's exiting the building. And he feels that something is rushing up from behind of him. And he sees in the corner of his eye a shadow, which makes him jump and turn around, but nothing is there. After so many nights of this, Frank is thinking to himself, if only there was a way to get some answers from this, because he can feel stuff and he can most definitely see stuff because there's doors closing and doors slamming and all sorts happening with him. So he knows there is something there, but he'd like to get some evidence. So he goes to his phone and starts looking up apps, and he comes across something called an EVB, an electronic voice box. When you record it, it sounds something like somebody searching through a radio channel, where there's static in between channels, and then they'd hear something, like say you go past one channel and it'd be like two words and then you quickly go by it. And a lot of ghost hunters that you see on YouTube or on TV would use this sort of thing. So Frank waits until 3 a.m. He then proceeds to drive up to the offices. He tries the EVB and sets out a few questions. Firstly, he asks, who's following me? And the EVB says, we are. He then asks, who are you? But gets nothing back. After a few more questions, with no replies, he finally asks, do you want me to leave? And immediately gets told yes. Without hesitation, Frank starts up his car, goes back down to the hut, and tries to forget all about it. But he can still feel there's something with him on the car. As time goes on, he keeps Eddie updated, and his girlfriend too. One night, an alarm is activated in the offices. Frank, feeling that he shouldn't go alone, gets Eddie to come with him. When they go down, they go into the building. Then, as they're in one side of the building, Eddie hears doors slamming in the other part of the building. And he says, there's somebody down there. To which Frank replies, there's not anybody down there. This is the stuff I've been telling you about. Eddie, half disbelieving him, decides he will go down and investigate the noise. As he goes down, there's nobody there. And then Eddie finally believes Frank. The two security officers head down back towards the hut. It's a fairly quiet night, and the two security officers end up falling asleep. But they were woken as the hut they were based in was creaking like it never creaked before. They had spent numerous nights in it and had been awake through the whole night, and there had never been a single creak that the building had made. But this night when Eddie felt the, and when Eddie heard the noises, and Frank felt that there was a presence even in the car with them heading back to the hut. The whole building, the whole hut was creaking and making noises. Then when they had woken because of the noises, they had stayed awake, but it was like something was throwing stones at the windows. As they kept looking around, even so much as to go outside to try look up on the roof to see if there was birds or anything that could be making the noise, but there was nothing. There was no sign of anybody anywhere near them. They told some other security officers to also walk on the ground what had happened. The other security officers had told them that in the arena there used to be 24-hour security, but the night shift in the arena used to bring in crosses to keep themselves safe, which was no surprise to Frank and Eddie because they too had been called to alarms down there during the night when it was just them two in the whole building. As they'd go in, as you would expect with a big arena, there's like a wide open space. They'd be at the side nearest to the entrance, and they'd hear a lot of noises coming from the back end of the arena. As they make their way up to the back end of the arena and arrive to where they had heard them noises, then they hear the exact same noises back where they were standing beforehand. So this led them to know that that building is also haunted. One day Frank decides him and his girlfriend would go and take a walk around the grounds, as a lot of people would do. Frank and his girlfriend went up to look at the mansion and the offices, and immediately she knew what building he had been talking about, and she also felt a lot of presence there. When she went home that night and she was asleep, a girl came to her in her dream and talked of the mansion and talked of the offices. She would say how she would always enter the stables by a door up a set of stairs. His girlfriend told her that she needs to leave the grounds, that her family are waiting for her. Then the girl had turned aggressive. It was like she had turned into a demon. The girl went for her, pushing her to the ground quite aggressively, and when she was going to attack her more, his girlfriend told her to turn around, that her family is behind her waiting for them. The girl turned around and it was like she had went from a demon back to an angel. She woke up and told Frank of the dream, and Frank said, well, hopefully she is gone now. On the next night shift, he no longer felt her watching him in the courtyard. He went in, locked the building as usual, with no feeling of anybody watching him or following him. As he locked that building up, he went on to the next building. He locks these buildings at least once or twice a week, and he knows what lights do flicker and what lights don't, and he notices when there's something out of place. He made his way down towards the end of the second building on his lockup list. As he got to the fire exits, there was two signs for, like, two fire exit signs. Both of them start flickering like crazy for 5 or 6 seconds, but to Frank, this felt like a lot longer. He had told his girlfriend about the flickering lights, and she told him that this was a sign that the person who she had tried to contact and tried to move on had went to the light, and that was her saying thank you. Frank was happy that the girl had passed on, but in ways he was sad because this was the first time he had witnessed so much paranormal activity and kind of felt a connection with the building. But then after a few more shifts, Frank had noticed that while that girl may have been gone, there were still more people. Whether they were coming from the mansion into the offices, he doesn't know. But he knows that there are still people there, still people on the grounds, and he doesn't think that he will ever get rid of all the paranormal activity there. He just hopes there's more good than there is bad. And that was the story of Frank and his spirits. So, if you found that interesting, please let me know. If you found it a load of shite, also please let me know. I think stuff of paranormal, if people don't believe in it, then it's very hard to convince them. I would believe in it. I don't know about if I'd be able to see spirits, or I don't know. I think if I was to being woken that was happening to me. I don't know if I'd go back to work. Let me know your thoughts on that. If your job was to go into buildings late at night and walk around them, locking them up on your own, and stuff like that started to happen to you, would you go back? Because security, I've talked to a few security officers who have been based on old sites, because in Ireland most buildings are old and there's been people here for a long time. One security guard had told me that he was working in a castle and he had to wait for the main lady who worked there taking tickets throughout the day and stuff, had to wait for her to cash up at the end of the day. So after she had cashed up and gone, then he'd go up and lock the safe and lock the office door and lock everywhere else. So he was sitting there and all night long he could hear her messing with the coins. And he was like, Jesus, she's taking a long time. But anyway, I'll just have to wait. The next day, the lady came in and she's like, why did you not lock the office? Because you were playing with them coins all night. She's like, I left at 9 o'clock. So there you go. That was probably another bit of paranormal activity. Yeah, I think security guards probably have a lot more stories or have probably seen a lot of crazy stuff than they would tell you. So that'll wrap up this week's episode. Tune in next week when I will be talking about, I don't know. I'll be talking about something, that's for sure. So tune in, message me, email me, wherever you want, good or bad, just let me know. Thanks.